Colossians 1, starting at verse 9 on page 1182. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Well, why don't we pray as we open this particular passage of God's word, which Annabelle has just read for us. Let's pray. Your word transforms, it lifts the humble, it rebukes the proud, and protects the poor. Your word discerns the mind and spirit of all. Your word endures forever. God, our Father, we thank you for the chance to hear your word as we read it and listen to it preached together. We pray that you would show us more of yourself as we look into this particular passage of the Bible. And we pray that you would warm our hearts to you, that you would challenge us in the way that we're living, and that you would give us hope and a renewed relationship with you, God. We know that's what's most important. So draw us close to you individually and as a church, as your Holy Spirit leads us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name, not in our own name, and for his glory. Amen. Well, you may have heard of the certain town that had up to that point not had a tavern in it. And there were plans afoot to put the very first bar into this town. And up until that point, it had been dry. And the Christians in that town decided, for whatever reason, that they didn't want this particular tavern to be built in their town. So they held an all-night prayer meeting, asking God that he would stop the establishment of this tavern in their town. And so they prayed all through the night that God would intervene. And that very night, the tavern which was being built was struck by lightning and burnt to the ground. The owner of the tavern, who had heard about the prayer meeting, was furious and launched a lawsuit against the church for the losses that he suffered through the destruction of his tavern. And he brought the case before the judge, and the judge heard his case, and the Christians hired a lawyer saying, "We are not responsible for this." And the judge, as he looked at the initial proceedings, said, "Well, one thing about this case is certain, no matter how it turns out, is that the tavern owner believes in the power of prayer and the Christians do not." I wonder if you were to cast your mind back across 2019 and if kind of an impartial observer were to look at your life of prayer, would they say that you believe in prayer or not? What are the things that you prayed throughout 2019? And if someone were to have a bird's eye view, would they say that you're a passionate believer in the power of prayer? Or would they have said, well, they may think about prayer or talk about prayer, but they surely don't believe actually in the power of prayer, kind of like these Christians in this town? If you're anything like me, as you look back over 2019, you see ways in which you wish that you had prayed more for yourself and for others, for your church and for God's work in the world. And that's not an unusual feeling, even as a devout, dedicated Christian person, to be asking God, please, would you help me in this life of prayer? I know it's important, but I feel weak in it, and I need you to strengthen me in it. As we pivot into 2020, I do a bit of an audit of life and kind of along a number of axes. You know, you look at how you spent whatever money the Lord provided you over 2019. You look at your physical health and your exercise and say, was it adequate to carry on forward into 2020? Well, this afternoon, as we look at this passage of God's Word, it holds out a bit of a challenge to us, encouraging us to ask along this axis of prayer. How are you doing personally? How are we doing as a church in our life of prayer to God? So important. And the passage gives three kind of challenges and encouragements. The first is about the priority of our prayers. The second is about the focus or content, you might say, of our prayers. And the third is about the results when we pray. The priority of prayer, the focus of prayer, and the results of our prayer. First, look at the priority of prayer as the Apostle Paul prays for this church in Colossae, which we heard last week. He had never been to, but cared deeply about. He'd heard news about its faith and its love, and ever since he'd been praying for them. And as we overhear his prayers for this church, we're challenged in our own prayers. First, look at the priority of prayer in Paul's ministry to the Colossians. Look up the page to the passage that we looked at last week at verse 3. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We always thank God." And then look down at verse 9, the first part of it, which we read. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will." We continually ask. If someone were to take that bird's eye view over my life and were to say, does Andrew continually ask God? Does he continually pray to God? Does he always ask God on behalf of his congregation or on behalf of his wife and his children? Oh, I'm afraid that I receive a deep, deep challenge. I hope that you do too, an invitation as well. Notice that prayer, as we think of the priority of prayer, is to God the Father. Did you see that? Verse 3, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or verse 9 again, we continually ask God. So it seems like a silly thing to point out, doesn't it? But it's not, that prayer is to God the Father. And the reason why I say it's not silly to draw that point out, it's because if you were to kind of listen on the street about how many in our culture today think about prayer, many of them kind of have what you might call a therapeutic understanding of prayer. And what that means is that people say, yes, prayer is very good. It gives you peace. When you pray, you have less anxiety. When you pray for other people, you can have better relationships with them. And you'll often hear people talk about prayer in that kind of therapeutic way, almost like it wouldn't matter or not if there was a glass ceiling over our prayers. Even then, the idea is that prayer would still have value for us. It would help us. And in as much as it helps us, it has value. Notice that's not how we're to think of prayer whatsoever. The Christian understanding of prayer is that there's someone there hearing us. Not only a kind of vague, generic God, but a God who is our Father is hearing us when we pray. A Father wants to hear from you Just as I want to hear from my children when they're struggling at school, when there's been some disruption on the playground, when they're wrestling with some issues in their life, I want them to bring it to me. Your Heavenly Father wants you to be praying to Him. Prayer, it should go without saying, but needs to be said, is to God the Father. And notice also that prayer is continual. That the idea is not simply that there's a little touch of prayer here and a little sprinkling of prayer over there and a little bit of prayer in the corner over here. But look at the emphasis of how He's praying continually. We have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. One of the things I love about being in Oxford are the bells. The bells that you hear, the churches ringing the bells. And in this new home that we've moved into just south of the Westgate Center, we hear the bells all the time. And on a cold day, of course, the sound can travel farther and more easily. And you'll hear the bells of Tom Tower of Christ Church. And do you know that Tom Tower of Christ Church, just across from St. Aldate's here, rings the bell, the great big bell in Tom Tower, 101 times every evening at 9.05 p.m. And you hear it, dong, dong. And the reason it does that is, I guess, in olden times, there were 101 students in the college, and wherever they were out amidst Oxford, they were called by the bells to come back home. It's time to tuck in, time to get in, and not be out anymore. And so ring the bell. Every time you hear the bells ringing around Oxford, I want you to think about prayer. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, said this: prayer pulls the rope down below, and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some scarcely ring the bell. They languish in prayers. Others give an occasional jerk on the rope. But the one who communicates with heaven grasps the rope boldly and pulls with all their might again and again and again. And practically, this means I hope that each of us would have a dedicated time for prayer in our day and in our week, sometimes alone, and hopefully at least once in a week with other Christian people, where we're sharing our concerns and praying. And may I just say, if that's not a part of your Christian life, my friends, you're being invited to live that way. The assumption is that prayer is continual. Have I told you the story when I was on the rugby pitch as a high school student, and it had been chucking down rain all day, and various parts of the pitch were flooded? And as you know, in rugby, that you get in the ruck, right? The ball's there, and all the people pile in over the ball, and a number of people piled in over this ruck, and I found myself at the bottom of the ruck. But at the bottom of the ruck, on the ground, there was a great big pool of water, and my face was submerged under the water, so I couldn't breathe. And about 4 or 5, 100-kilo men were piled on top of me, and I was stuck there just hoping that they got off very quickly. Do you know, have you been in that experience, maybe at the bottom of a pool, where you've dived down deep, and you're longing for a breath, but you can't get that breath until you get to the top? Friends, prayer for the Christian is like breathing. And if you're going through your Christian life feeling suffocated, then you're being called by God to pray. The expectation is that we pray as if we're breathing. We're praying continually. Dedicated times of prayer, shooting up prayers to God as we go throughout our day, as something arises in our mind, lifting it up in prayer, asking other people to pray for us. First thing, the priority of prayer, we're praying to God the Father continually. That's the challenge. But then look at the focus of our prayers. The focus of our prayers is that we and the other Christian people that we pray for, or even non-Christian people who we might to invite into God's love, the focus of our prayer is that we grow in the knowledge of God's will. Verse 9 again, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Look at what he prays. Now, in the original kind of Greek text of this, this is all one sentence, believe it or not. All the passage that was read by Annabelle from chapter 9, verse 9 through to 14 is all one long sentence in the Apostle Paul's mouth. But this particular phrase here, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, is central. And then everything that follows kind of follows under that, kind of dependently. So it's very important. The focus of our prayers is the knowledge of God's will. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a boss that you were trying to work under, and you were trying to execute your job well, but it wasn't communicated to you what that person's will was, what the job was supposed to look like? Well, God's desire is that we would have the knowledge of his will. And as we have the knowledge of what he wants, then we can live that way and please him. In my early 20s, I worked as a carpenter. And one of the things that happened on the work sites in British Columbia of that time was that they would give you very little training. You would show up to the job very green and inexperienced, and they would saddle you up to another framer who would, you know, was a very experienced carpenter. And they would just get about the work of building. And they would kind of expect you to know how to build a wall. They'd expect you to know how to pour, how to create the forms to pour the concrete for the foundation. And I found it the most disorientating, frustrating thing. I was asking myself, what am I supposed to be doing here? Please, would someone apprentice me? Would someone teach me how to be a carpenter? I don't know how. But these guys had no time for teaching. They just wanted to get the job done. And if you didn't get along and do it, well, too bad for you. That's not the way God acts towards us. He wants us to know what he wants. He wants us to be clear about his will. But he imparts that spiritual understanding to us as we read his word and as we pray that he would open our eyes to know what it is that he wants and what his desires are. What's God's desires for City Church in 2020? Friends, we'll only know as we pray together that he would open our eyes to his will. The priority of prayer is that we pray to the Father continually. The focus of prayer is that we ask him to give us knowledge of his will. And finally, the result of our prayer is a fruitful life that's pleasing to God. And I hope that this excites you. Read with me verses 10 through to the end. Why do we pray continually to the Father that he would give us knowledge of his will? Well, verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Look at what happens when we make prayer a priority and we ask God to give us the knowledge of his will. Well, then our life begins to change and our life begins to be lived in a way that pleases him, and it begins to bear fruit, meaning that it points other people to God, and we begin to experience the joy of thankfulness as we pray. Did you notice the things that were listed? Live a life worthy, pleasing to God in every way, bearing fruit in doing good works, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in power to persevere in the Christian life, and then having a life that overflows with joy and thankfulness to God for his great rescue of us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light as we're forgiven of our sins by trusting in the Lord Jesus. Friends, who doesn't want to live that life? I mean, if you were to ask me, Andrew, would you rather win the lottery? Or would you rather live a life like this? Friends, I want a life like this. I want a fruitful life. I want a life that grows in the knowledge of God. I want a life that pleases God. And you might think, Andrew, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Isn't it a basic gospel truth that once we believe in the Lord Jesus, well, we are pleasing to him and we do know him? Well, it's important to see that in one sense that's true. When we place our faith in Jesus, he forgives us of our sins and we have redemption. We don't have to worry as to whether or not we're accepted by God. But once we're in Christ and have been fully accepted by God because simply of our faith in him, then there is still scope for growth. Notice that the assumption is that you and I are going to be growing in our Christian life day after day and progressing in our knowledge of God throughout our Christian life. Do you know God better now than you knew God this time last year? Has 2019 been one of growth for you in faith? Or has it been kind of flatline? Or has it been even back on the heels and pushed a bit farther back? Friends, the invitation is, as we put prayer central in our life, we can expect to be fruitful and to grow and to know the joy that comes along with that. I find that so inviting. And I want to invite you, as you sing and pray as we close our service, just to cast your mind again over 2019 and to ask, how was the prayer? Were you prioritizing prayer to our Father continually? Were we as a church asking God to give us the knowledge of his will? And are we expecting that as we do that, we'll become more fruitful and more pleasing to God as we're conformed to what he wants for us? It's a big challenge. I feel challenged by it. But friends, let's together now commit to making 2020 a year characterized by prayer. Let's pray before we close our service in song. Father, we thank you that in Christ Jesus you've rescued us from the dominion of darkness, we're told, and you've transferred us into a kingdom of light, and that in the Lord Jesus we have full forgiveness and redemption. Father, we thank you. And we want to ask of you, God, that this year you would draw us closer to you. We pray that you would help us to pray for ourselves. And we pray that you would help us to pray for those in our church and others whom we love, that we might see all of us grow to know you more. Thank you that in the new heavens and the new earth, we'll be growing in the knowledge of you day after day after day because you're inexhaustible. And we pray even in our life now that you would help us to go from strength to strength in our walk with you as we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these things, God. Amen. Let's stand.